Good afternoon. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And coming up, in fact, for just about the full hour, I'll be talking with Don Petty, who is a nationally acclaimed mountain dulcimer artist and teacher, who will conduct a workshop and traditional music concert on the evening of next Monday, July 15th, at Atonement Lutheran Church in Springfield. We'll give you all details as the hour progresses. He's a longtime resident of Western North Carolina. He's collected Southern Appalachian fiddle tunes for 30 years, known for matching the rhythm, melody, and ornamentation of master fiddle players, often note for note on the dulcimer, which is saying something. He's recorded more than 10 albums, written 3 instruction books, hosts a radio program called Close to Home, an old-time music show on the NPR affiliate station in Asheville, North Carolina. And as I say, we'll hear more later on. Our programs today are made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. Here's Don Petty, along with guitarist Steve Millard and bassist John Herman, in a tune called Pretty Little Widow. That's a tune called Pretty Little Widow, and it's played on the mountain dulcimer, or Appalachian dulcimer, if you like, by Don Petty, who has become pretty well known in these parts, or those parts that know much about the mountain dulcimer, both as an artist and a teacher. And I made a little joke in introducing the show. Actually, it was some mountain dulcimer joke, Don, that you probably heard that I read somewhere, which is how long you've been playing that thing, and somebody looks at his watch and says about 45 minutes.
Right.
So, and I assumed that the point of that joke was that a lot of people learn the dulcimer quickly and sometimes don't get beyond that, but doesn't sound like, I don't know how quickly you learned it, but you've certainly gone way beyond that. So in any event, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Well, thank you. And 45 is about the right number. That's how many years I've been playing.
Oh, well, how about that?
Yeah.
I didn't even give that part a thought. I started to do the math and then gave up. But I should say that Don is going to be giving a workshop in Springfield next Monday evening from 6 to 7:30, and then a concert at 8 o'clock at Atonement Lutheran Church on West Jefferson in Springfield. And he's based in North Carolina, so that's a nice little trip for you to come on out here. I guess the place to start is the place you started. What got you into the mountain dulcimer? Why that, among all the options you probably had available?
Well, back in the mid-1960s, I was living in Boston and would go to the coffee houses. And I went to, one night I went to see Judy Collins at the old Unicorn Coffee House. And I ended up showing up on the wrong night.
You missed her, huh?
I missed her by a night. And I'll date myself. It was $3 to see Judy Collins in a little coffee house. But anyway, Richard and Mimi Farina were playing. And Mimi Farina she's passed away, was Joan Baez's sister.
Okay.
And Richard was kind of a poet, and he picked up the dulcimer as far as a musical instrument. And Mimi was a very fine guitar player. And I never heard of them, but I went into the show and fell in love with that instrument. Went up and spoke with him, asked him what it was, and he was very nice. There weren't that many people there, maybe 15. And so we spent time visiting during the break and convinced me to get one. And a few years later, I ended up getting one of those dulcimers and never put it down.
Why is this? Go ahead.
Well, I'll just say a lot of my friends were musicians, and they all played guitars and banjos and some fiddles and such, but nobody played dulcimer. And so I was attracted to that, so I kind of wanted something different, so then I stuck with it.
And you could do what a lot of people do and not go very far with it, just do sort of basic chords, because it's not a complex instrument. It has, three or four strings, and mm-hmm. and you play it, part of it sounds like a drone, and then you finger it. And you could, it can be played simply, but you've made something more of it than that.
Well, it's interesting, a lot of people in the 70s, everybody was looking to do something on the dulcimer that hadn't been done. That's when they started doing chords and playing different types of music, like jazz or just whatever. People play anything on them anymore. But what people don't realize is that the original dulcimers, the frets, they didn't have guitar-style frets. The frets were made largely of broom wire, and they were little staples that only went under the first or the first and second string. So that instrument was meant to be played with the two strings droning and the one string having a melody slide up and down there. And it's gotten so far away from that that I kind of, in the 70s, I played a lot of different kinds of things, but I kind of went back to wanting to do the old traditional style and found that you could have a lot of depth within that style and took that approach to it.
You mentioned jazz. Did you ever get into that?
A little. I do remember. Yeah, I remember sitting, I was in Boston. I sat around with a couple of jazz guitar players and I remember playing Take Five one day. and down here in Asheville, they have that Biltmore Estate. And while traditional music is my big love, occasionally I would get hired over there dressed in a 20s costume and bring a jazz guitar player, and we'll play 20s kind of music, Django Reinhardt, that kind of stuff. I'm just whacking out melodies, and somebody else playing chords on the jazz guitar. So and people today, some people attempt to play all the chords and everything on a dulcimer. And you can do it, but to me, it's not my taste. To me, I'd get a guitar if I was going to do that.
Thank you. from his CD called Stranger on a Mule. That's a little tune called Little Lizzie Ann, played by Massachusetts native and longtime North Carolina resident Don Petty on the Mountain Dulcimer. He's my guest on today's edition of Live and Local. Well, let's talk about the dulcimer as the instrument, because it was certainly true for me before somebody brought one in to our studio here not long ago, and is one of those instruments that I'd heard of, and frankly I couldn't have described it for you. I couldn't have told anybody what it actually is. So why don't you tell people what is a dulcimer, and then what's a mountain dulcimer? Because that's a particular type, right?
Okay, yeah. The dulcimer is there's two instruments that have that name, and that's about all they share in a way that they share the name. There's the hammer dulcimer, which is an older instrument, and that tends to have they could have some of them have like 60 strings and some have more, and they're stretched over two bridges, and you play the melody by striking them with the little mallets, kind of like a piano or a harpsichord, only you hold the little hammers, and that's a hammer dulcimer, and that goes back to Persia, mentioned in the Bible, although it was a misquote, but it was mentioned there. It was a misspelling. But then there's the Appalachian dulcimer, or the mountain dulcimer, or fretted dulcimer, whatever. There's a number of names for it. And that comes from, that's an American instrument that was developed out of a German zither instrument called the Scheitholt. And the Scheitholt came into this country pretty much from the Pennsylvania Dutch, the Pennsylvania Germans. And as they migrated, I won't get too into this, but the Great Wagon Road, the Philadelphia Wagon Road, which was actually an old Indian trail from the Iroquois Nation, that the Iroquois would travel from New York all the way down to Georgia on that road. It goes where Route 81 is at this point. But anyway, as the Germans migrated with they brought those Scheitholts with them. Somewhere on an off branch of that Great Wagon Road, the Wilderness Road, which took off somewhere around Roanoke, Virginia, over towards the Cumberland Gap, that section is where they believe that the dulcimer developed out of the Scheitholt. Now, here's the difference. The Scheitholt was like a rectangular box-looking instrument, a long rectangle. And the staples, which were what they used for frets, were just right on the box. And there were oftentimes those old instruments had many strings. I have one at home here that has 11 strings. But you would play the melody on the first or on the first and second string, and the other ones were sympathetic and just hit for accent. What made a dulcimer was they put a fingerboard on top of the box and then put the staples on the fingerboard. And that reduced it down to like three strings or four strings. You know, people did what they wanted. There's no, you can't say, definitely that one thing or another, but pretty much that's it. And so that's the difference, is the fingerboard then made it easier as far as strumming the instrument, and maneuverability seemed a little simpler.
So it's not particularly large. You lay it on your lap. You play the frets with your left hand, and you strum, with or without a pick, with your right hand.
Yes, and in fact, the old-timers didn't have picks, so what they would do is use a goose or a turkey quill, and you would defeather it and take the finer end and use that to strike the strings, and at the heavier end you would cut off so that it, was the right size to fit your hand or however you want to do it, and you would strum with that turkey or goose quill, And then they would, oftentimes they would, because you only played on the one string and let the other strings drone, oftentimes people would run a little piece of wood, like a little piece of dowel or something, a little stick, and run it up and down the fingerboard, stopping at the frets, and that's called a noter, and that would be how they would, you know, do it rather than with the fingers. Mm. Now, some people did it with fingers, and some people did it with that noter.
And you, what do you use?
I used my a noter for the first few years, but then I met a fellow named Howie Mitchell back in 1970, and he was pretty innovative on the dulcimer, and he was doing a lot of cording. And one of the other things that he was the first one I ever saw do was to apply banjo techniques of like hammer-ons and pull-offs to the dulcimer. And when I got more and more into the fiddle music, I found that the noter could not get me all the grace notes that I really wanted. And so I went and kind of developed my own style of playing, which included three-finger rolls that includes, you know, hammer-ons, pull-offs, and slides. But my style is totally within tradition. I mean, anybody 100 years ago, dulcimers came around in like the, they say the early, like 1800, late 1700s. I think the earliest one they found was, you know, early 1800s. But, you know, anybody could have come up with this. I mean, if they were clever enough, I guess. And I had help in seeing other people do the hammer-ons and pull-offs and just knowing the tunes. But, you know, but at the same time, the beauty of the instrument is that it was often, the Scheitholz, for example, were more used for playing hymns and just simple songs that anybody could play music on. And the lap dulcimer was kind of used in the same way. And you can, you know, I could teach anybody to play it in 10 minutes, you know, get a tune out of it.
So you don't even need that full 45, huh?
No, you don't need the full 45. Well, I know, everybody's different, you know.
Well, since you mentioned hymns, we do have a nice slow hymn here, and it sounds like one that, since you mentioned earlier the Pennsylvania Dutch, which is not far from where I'm from, by the way, seemed like the sort of thing that they might have sung if they sang at all. Or at least in that region. This is called Samanthra. Is that one of those place name tunes?
Yes, that particular one is, you know, there are the shape note singing, you know, these shape note singing schools. And there's a few different, you know, branches of shape note singing. The most popular is the sacred harp.
Right.
There's lots of sacred harp schools, or they used to have schools, or they call it schools, you know, singing schools, all over the country. And in our area of Western North Carolina, they did a branch of shape note singing called Christian Harmony. And it tends to be a little slower and even, more even than a lot of the sacred harp. Personally, I like them all, and but that song, that particular one, comes from, you know, my singing it with the local Christian Harmony singers for over the last 40 years.
Wow.
And the one thing I'll mention about that whole tune, the words are appropriate for the dulcimer conversation because the first line is, "His voice as the sound of the dulcimer sweet is heard through the shadows of death."
It's a beautiful tune.
It's a beauty, yeah.
It's called Samanthra, and it's played here by Don Petty, who is my guest on Live and Local. He'll be given a workshop on the hammered, not the hammered dulcimer, the mountain dulcimer, and then a concert as well on Monday night next week in Springfield. This is Live and Local. Thank you. an old hymn called Samanthra, played by Don Petty, and comes off of his CD called Walk With Me, if I'm reading my writing right. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Don is my guest here on Live and Local. He'll be playing next Monday in Springfield, workshop and a concert. We talked a little bit about how you got into the instrument, and not directly through your family, but your family has a lot of music in it. I know your grandfather played guitar, mandolin, banjo. Uncle did singing and played some stuff. Your dad, some singing. What kind of singing did he do?
Well, it was more, you know, my family is Sicilian. And so my grandfather played Sicilian folk music. And my dad was more into, you know, the kind of Italian-American pop culture music, you know, Dean Martin and Louis Prima and that kind of stuff. And my Uncle Frank had his own trio, and in fact, if you looked him up on, now he changed his name for stage to Petty instead of Pedi for Petty. But if you looked him up, he has a number of 78s, the Frank Petty Trio. And he actually used to play guitar with Frank Sinatra when Frank Sinatra would come to Boston and have a, he wouldn't bring a band, he'd have a pickup band, and it would be my uncle to play guitar.
No, Frank Sinatra, there's somebody I've heard of.
Exactly. So it was that kind of music. And one thing I found interesting, a lot of the tunes that the Frank Petty Trio played were the same tunes that people of his, he was, you know, like World War II vet. My dad was a World War II vet, and my Uncle Frank was actually older. And so I don't know, he might have been just a little older than that. But people from that same generation in the South played a lot of the same tunes that were tunes, I guess, from pop culture that got into the folk tradition. So it's kind of interesting to find that on his recordings, you know, Dom Yonder and things like that. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing. And the other thing about culturally, my grandfather was a barber and would close his barbershop and then have families over, and they'd play music and drink homemade wine, and the women would cook. And this would be on a weekend. And in the South, now that was up in Boston, you know, but in the South, very common that on the weekend, you'd have family and friends come over, everybody'd play music, the women would cook, and the men would sit around and drink homemade liquor. You know? It's just, the cultures are kind of very similar.
So we should probably say that your grandfather was actually gone before you were born.
That's right.
But in fact,
I know about all that just from talking. One of the neighbors that used to come over as a boy who was younger generation than my dad, but not much younger. He was really of that kind of time, World War II kind of vet. He is the one that actually told me about all this. I ended up meeting this fellow in Cambridge, and he told me all about this, and I asked my dad, and he said, oh, yeah, that was how they did it.
But you can still say it's in your blood, and somehow or another.
Absolutely.
Got realized that.
And my dad would sing all the time. I mean, that was just a lot of, you know, our entertainment. We'd have family reunions and things of that nature, there'd always be music.
Well, I want to ask you about the notion of playing fiddle tunes on the dulcimer, because it's sort of coming back to the notion that the dulcimer can sound like a simple instrument, or it can sound pretty intricate. And I would think that if you're going to play fiddle tunes, fiddlers can get around with a whole lot of notes, depending on the tune, of course. And the idea that that can get reproduced on the dulcimer sounds complex to me. How did you get started doing that? And is that something that a lot of dulcimer players do, just take fiddle tunes and transfer them? Or is that kind of a small specialty?
Well, there are, you know, it's gotten very popular over the years. In fact, they have contests in the South where they'll have fiddle contests, but they will also have competitions in banjo and guitar and mandolin and dulcimer or whatever. And mostly what people play at those are fiddle tunes on the dulcimer. And like up in Galax, Virginia, there's a long tradition of it. But in the mainstream of dulcimer, oftentimes what happened was they would take fiddle tunes and kind of do simplified versions and slow them down. Now, the trend is getting away from that anymore, which is a good thing. But the fiddle tunes on the dulcimer have mostly, like in Galax, they're all pretty standard tunes that people play. There's a, you know, there's a repertory of maybe 40 tunes or something that goes on. But the, and that's one regional style, and that got to be what was popular. Now, lately in the last few years, although, I mean, I've been into this, I guess, since early 80s, when I started branching off after hearing the Roan Mountain Hilltoppers, a group from Tennessee, meeting them, I started branching off into these old regional styles, and Eastern Kentucky is another great place, and Western North Carolina, where they have these tunes that are, they're different. They're, a lot of them are crooked. In other words, the measures don't add up, so you couldn't play them for a square dance. And a lot of the melodies are very intricate, and they're perfectly suited to the dulcimer. A lot of them are in modal tunings, and a lot of them, the fiddles would actually tune into a tuning where the fiddle could hit two strings and drone. And so the dulcimer combined with the droning fiddle makes a really interesting sound. And in fact, if we get in the key of A sometimes, my friend Bruce Green that I play with often, he would get into, so for one of the cross tunings that they would use on the fiddle is A-E-A-E. And on the dulcimer, I would be tuned E-A-E. So we'd have two notes between the two instruments, you know. And the drones and just the melody with those drones makes it sound like more than two instruments. It's interesting.
Well, we do have Bruce Green with you here in a tune that's called Christmas Eve. It doesn't sound like a Christmas song. That's just the name of the tune. What's going on here between the two?
Well, now that's in the key of D. And that's that is one where it's one of those kind of tunes where there's not so much melody as, you know, the whole B part of it is just totally, you know, not a lot of notes, but very drony and rhythmic. And in fact, that's an old tune that goes way back. Bruce learned that from an old man named Jim Bowles up in Kentucky back in the 70s. And then Jim learned it from, if I understand this correctly, he learned it from his mother, who was a whistler, which was another big tradition. They used to have whistling contests, like fiddle contests, where people would whistle these tunes. And she would whistle the tunes, and Jim would learn them on the fiddle. And she learned it from an old man named Gilbert Maxey, who was a former slave. And that, you know, putting that tune back to, it came out of African-American tradition originally, and it puts it pre-Civil War in a direct lineage. So that's where, I mean, that's what that tune, it has a different kind of a sound to it.
Well, let's give it a listen. It's called Christmas Eve with Bruce Green on the fiddle and my guest here on Live and Local, Don Petty, on the mountain dulcimer. Or hog fiddle. I'm going to talk about that a little later. And Don will be in Springfield for a workshop and concert on Monday night. You're hearing him on Live and Local. Thank you. called Christmas Eve with Don Petty on the mountain dulcimer, Bruce Green on the fiddle, and Don's my guest here on the show today. He's going to be doing a workshop next Monday night from 6 to 7:30, and then a concert at 8 o'clock, both of those at Atonement Lutheran Church in Springfield. And I mentioned, Don, just before we played that, I snuck in this term hog fiddle as being one that's applied to the mountain dulcimer. And I'm assuming, I don't know how it first got applied, but I can imagine that it may well have been intended as an insult, and it's now a term of affection or something like that.
I think you're right on with that.
What do you know about the origin of that?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think it came out of West Virginia, that term, a hog fiddle. And all I can remember is I think I heard that term, you know, up there, and I remember there's a fellow up there named of Jerry Milnes that ran the Augusta Heritage Center for many years. I think he just retired from it. But I remember he mentioned one time about interviewing old fiddle players looking for dulcimers up there, and I don't know why, but I always think of the term hog fiddle with the comment that this one fiddle player made. Jerry said, "Well, do you got any of those old dulcimers around?" He goes, "Yeah, I think there's one up there in the loft of the barn." And he said, "Oh, well, did you ever play it?" He goes, the old man said, "Play it." He said, "I wouldn't whack my dog on the hind end with that thing." Well, he didn't use those words exactly, but anyway, it was to give you the idea.
We'll use our imagination from there. Yeah. Well, you know, it seems to be a term of affection now. In fact, the guy that I assume is bringing you to Springfield was on our show not long ago. Pete Ellertson, and
yes.
He's got a blog that's, I think, just called hogfiddle.
Exactly.
.com
and Pete
or something
is
like
really
that.
Into, you know, studying on the traditional end of the dulcimer. I've known him for years.
You were at one point certified a lifetime master dulcimer player, I guess, as a result of winning a lot of awards at festivals and so on. Is that something you get a certificate for, or a big medal, or something like? Or what does that mean in the world of dulcimer players?
Well, what it is it was a festival called Fiddler's Grove. It's down in North Carolina, down off of the mountains, down in the Piedmont, in a town, the town of Union Grove, but I remember, I mean, the festival grounds is on 40 acres in downtown Union Grove, so anyway. But it's a festival that, you know, that was a pretty prestigious festival. What happens is that you would go there and enter the contest, like they had all the fiddle and all this, you know, banjos, dulcimers. And the way they work it is, if you win first place in any of the categories, and then come back the next year and win first place, then you have to rest for a year, and you don't compete.
Sounds fair.
And so I think I went down and did that, you know, 1-2 years, rested, 1-2 years, rested, 1-2 years. And they finally just said, you know, we'll just make you the master dulcimer player, and you don't have to compete.
In other words, please don't compete anymore.
Well, it was kind of the idea.
People would get tired of the same guy winning all the time.
Yeah, you know, and I only, you know, I never cared about the contest, tell you the truth. I mean, I just would go there. Basically, you'd get in the festival for free, and then you basically would get gas money if you win in a little ribbon. And, you know, I won a bunch of them. We used to go in with bands and do it mostly, like I say, for fun. But I was just lucky. I can only think of two times that I entered competitions where I did not win first. And I was in a band, you know, a number of bands, and, you know, I just knew good fiddle players, so we always would win first. So made the experience more fun to be a winner, I guess.
Let's listen to a song where you're doing a vocal as well as playing here. It's a song called Oil in My Vessel that comes off of the same CD as the hymn tune we heard earlier. Is this a sacred tune as well?
Yeah, that's one that I heard from when I was at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival in 2003. I met Joe Thompson, who was, as far as I know, the last of the Piedmont African-American fiddle players who came up in a direct lineage. His family could be traced playing music to pre-Civil War. And he had a number of just beautiful songs and versions of stuff that he did. And that was one I especially liked to him. His fiddle tunes are wonderful, too, but this was one of the sacred songs that he did.
I actually know that name, Joe Thompson, because he was something of a mentor to a group called the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
That's exactly right.
And they've talked about him a lot. We've been on the show here a couple times as well.
Yeah.
So here's another nice little connection that goes on. It's Oil in My Vessel with Don Petty playing the mountain dulcimer and singing, and demonstrating direct influence from your dad in this case.
Yeah.
Continuing the vocal tradition.
Yep.
And we're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Called Oil in My Vessel, Don Petty, vocal and mountain dulcimer here on Live and Local. He'll be in Springfield next Monday night for a workshop and a concert. I'll give you details coming up in a little bit. I wanted to ask you about the notion of a professional mountain dulcimer player. Is there such a thing? Does anybody make their living playing this instrument?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I mean, well, let me put it this way. Before I played music full-time, I would do carpentry or whatever. And I get by about the same playing music as I did doing that, but I ain't much of a pusher about business, you know. But I keep pretty busy at it. I mean, last month I was on the road for 3 weeks out of the month. which was actually a little much. This month, I'll coming over to Springfield because I'm doing a festival in Indiana the weekend before, and then I'm leaving Springfield and going down to Nashville, Tennessee, and doing a workshop and a concert there, and then getting home on time for the weekend to start up on Sunday at the Swannanoa Gathering, which is another whole week-long music camp here in Western North Carolina.
And is that a camp at which you'll be playing and teaching?
Yes, and that's one of these things where you go for a whole week, and that's now a lot of these things, they have dulcimer camps, but I also tend to teach a lot at old-time music camps, and those are good because you get fiddles, banjos, all different instruments. And a lot of the dulcimer camps, they're just pretty much dulcimer. And that the music is kind of different. I mean, the dulcimer festivals, the music tends to be dulcimer-oriented. They've adapted the tunes just to suit a certain modern style of playing the dulcimer, as opposed to the dulcimer adapting to play the traditional styles of the old fiddle tunes and the old traditional music. So it's, you know, there's some differences there. I like it all. I mean, the dulcimer festivals have lots of really great people. The old-time music festivals tend to have more my kind of music, so there it is.
Well, Don Petty has been described as somebody who can really play the dulcimer, and you're certainly getting that impression from, I hope, from what we've been playing for you here. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and people can participate in your workshop next Monday night from 6 to 7:30, and you encourage people to bring pretty much any old-time instrument they play?
Well, for the workshop, it's mostly going to be techniques on the dulcimer and such, you know, just mostly on the dulcimer. Other people would be welcome to, I mean, the songs are good, but I wouldn't be able to teach banjo or guitar people. But the concert, certainly anybody would be welcome to come. The music, you know, aside from just the dulcimer, I mean, I do a lot of throw in a cappella songs of old ballads and such that I've learned. There's a rich tradition of ballad singing here in Madison County where I live. And so my concerts tend to cross over. Fiddle players, you know, there's lots of good tunes. And traditional music players in general can appreciate that, or music lovers. But the workshop, I guess it would be more dulcimer players would get more out of it, although I wouldn't turn anybody away.
So bring your dulcimer if you want to learn more about how to play it. Bring any other instrument you want, because I guess at the concert at 8 o'clock on Monday, it's billed here as also being a jam session.
Now, see, I was going to mention that. it'd be great to have other instruments come for the jamming. After the concert, that'll be a good time.
And don't have a number for more information, so I'll just tell you that it's going to be Monday at Atonement Lutheran Church, 2800 West Jefferson in Springfield. And just go on out and participate in either or both of those sessions. Here's a tune that does involve more than one instrument plus vocals, called Little Betty Ann. Now, Don, I was hearing a bass on here, and is anybody else playing with you?
A guitar.
And guitar. And you want to credit those people?
Yeah, that would be on the guitar, it's Steve Millard, and on the bass, it's John Herman.
And we've really enjoyed having you on Live and Local today. Best of luck with your travels out to Springfield.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Fly around, my little Betty Ann, fly around, I say. Fly around, my little Betty Ann, now I'm going away. Little Betty Ann slighted me, I'll tell you now it's true. 'Cause I was a little old fool and I didn't know how to do. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, fare you well, I say. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, I'll be gone away. Coffee grows on a white oak tree, and the rivers, they run brandy. Streets are lined with $10 bills, and the girls are sweet as candy. Some come here to fiddle and dance, and some come here to tarry. Some come here to fiddle and dance, I come here to marry. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, fare you well, I say. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, I'll be gone away. A little boy, I wanted a Barlow knife. Now I want Betty Ann, say she'll be my wife. Some will court you for your love, and others to deceive you. When they find they've gained your love, they'll run right off and leave you. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, fare you well, I say. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, now I'm going away. Some go in for providence, and some go in for riches. Some go in for $10 bills, grows on white oak bushes. Peaches in the summertime, and apples in the fall. If I can't have Betty Ann, I don't want none at all. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, fare you well, I say. Fare you well, little Betty Ann, now I'm going away.
Don Petty on the dulcimer and vocal, and guitarist Steve Millard with bassist John Herman. Little Betty Ann here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation, dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. Besides Don Petty's event next Monday, here are some events in our listening area you can see and hear live over the next couple of days. Paige and Margaret O'Brien are going to be at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. There is a concert at the Thomas Reese Memorial Carillon in Springfield, also tonight at 7 o'clock, same on Wednesday and Thursday. The Marvin Lee Band play old-fashioned country music at the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. The Donnie Heitler Trio will play at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow it's High Cotton at Wheatfield Park in Urbana for a show at 6:30. And Bluegrass Band out of Monticello, and in fact they will be playing for us live on tomorrow's edition of Live and Local between 4 and 5, so I hope you'll join us for that. It's Jammin' Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The weekly Gunny Sack Review is at the Yoder Center in Arthur tomorrow night at 7. The weekly traditional Irish music session is at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 8:30. It's Evil Dead, the musical, put on by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana tomorrow through Saturday at 8 o'clock. University of Illinois and ISYM jazz faculty will play at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Sort of backwards here, preceded at 5 o'clock by three members of the UIUC jazz faculty, Chip Stevens, Joel Spencer, and Larry Gray. And then at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, it's the musical Anything Goes tomorrow night at 8. And I think that continues through the rest of the week as well. I'm Kevin Kelly. I've appreciated your joining us for Live and Local today. You are listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Quick look at the forecast. We'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely after midnight. Some storms may produce heavy rainfall. The low tonight, 72 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 88. Thursday's outlook is for a sunny day and a high temperature of 82 degrees. We're currently at 88 degrees. Coming up at 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. We've talked so much in this hour about Appalachian fiddle tunes. I thought we'd go out with some fiddle tunes from the French Creole regions of Upper Louisiana. This is a group called L'Esprit Creole, based here in central Illinois, and a song called Marie Madeleine, which translates as, "On my road, I found a beautiful pawpaw tree in bloom. Thus get up, Marie Madeleine. All your sins are forgiven." And it goes on from there. The lead singer and fiddler is Dennis Stromat.